Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, July 31, 2022, Romans.
I was looking at some of your faces on that last hymn I had on there. That was really very doctrinal, because a lot of Christians are boogieing when they should have woogied and woogied when they should have boogied, and their Christian life is a mess. So you see, you don't judge ahead of time, see? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we're in verses 1 through 5, the results of justification. Romans 5, 1 through 5. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like to also remind you, the congregation, that this Saturday, the evangelism team will be going back to Child Haven. They've invited us to come back this Saturday, and the evangelism will be directed primarily toward the preschoolers, correct? Preschoolers. So pray for the evangelism team that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in His hand to be used by Him. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately. Pray that God will prepare the hearts of all those there and bring by His hand of grace all the kids and all the adults that are supposed to be there, and that this might be used by God to bring many sons into glory. We were just there just a few weeks ago, and very happy to see that they wanted our evangelism team to come right back this soon. So that'll be this Saturday. If you keep that in your prayers, appreciate that very much. All right, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is a great paragraph. on the result of justification. Through chapter 3 and chapter 4, we have been seeing the concept, the doctrine of justification. At the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. And then He declares you to be righteous, justified. And what was the mechanics for that? Simple faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and the result is justification. Now we have here four results of justification in Romans 5, 1 through 5. We have studied verse 1. Result number 1 of justification is peace with God. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, because we were justified by faith, imputed with the righteousness from God, declared to be righteous, we have peace with God. That's reconciliation. That's the manward work of Christ on the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first result of justification, peace with God. Now in Romans chapter 5 verse 2, we have result number 2 and result number 3. Result number 2 of justification, we have access into the presence of the living and true God. Verse 2 says, by the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained, and the Greek word is a very excellent word, very important, prosagoge. That's P-R-O-S-A-G, long O-G, long E, prosagoge. It's actually a compound word made up of pros, face-to-face with, and the verb ago, which means to bring. So prosagoge means to bring face-to-face with someone, access into the presence of someone. Prosagoge means approaching someone greater than you are, coming into the presence of someone who is greater. So the second result of justification is that now we have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God. The second result of justification is access to God, and therefore a personal relationship with the living and true God. That's what Christianity is. A personal relationship with the living and true God. Paul is thinking of access into the presence of God as a place of grace in which we stand. We have the dative singular of pistis. Pistis is the word for faith. Dative case is the dative of means. By means of faith, the mechanics of salvation, the mechanics of justification is by means of faith in Jesus Christ. So we have, so far, by the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And the verb echo, translated obtain, to have, to hold, to possess, to obtain, we have also obtained access. That verb echo is in the perfect tense, and the perfect tense is an intensive perfect. And in the intensive perfect, emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action. So here's a principle. We have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God in the past with the result that we will continue to have a personal relationship with the living and true God forever. That's the intensive perfect tense. We have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God in the past, with that, how? By faith in Christ, with the result that we will continue to have a personal relationship with the living and true God forever. The active voice, the one who believes in Jesus Christ, performs the action of having obtained access to God. The indicative mood is declarative, a dogmatic fact of the Word of God. By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith, faith in Jesus Christ. And now that brings us to the second half of verse 2, result number 3 of justification, which is eternal security. And eternal security is presented here in a very beautiful and powerful way, and it's related to grace. That's the plan of God, that's the policy of God, grace. Into this grace in which we stand. This is the prepositional phrase, eis plus the accusative singular of charis with the definite article, plus the accusative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtas, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative singular of the relative pronoun hos, and the perfect active indicative of histemi. All right, well, I want to give this. I know you're just chomping at the bit to see a little Greek appear. Eis tein karin tautein. This is the preposition, eis, into. This is the noun, grace, with a definite article. And this is the demonstrative pronoun, this. So we have into this grace, into this grace. Then we have a prepositional phrase, en plus the dative of the relative pronoun hos. There's the preposition en, that's the feminine singular, the relative pronoun hos. Charis is a feminine noun, that's why it's in the feminine. So en, and this is h long e, and that is in which grace. Into this grace, in which grace, and then we have the verb histemi. H-I-S-T long E-M-I, histemi. And a couple of things on this verb. Histemi means to stand firm. Stand your ground. Stand firm. Perfect tense, once again, is very emphatic. We stand firm in the past, faith in Jesus Christ, with the result that we stand firm forever. Intensive perfect tense. This is the second intensive perfect tense. Two, the intensive perfect of both the verb echo, have obtained access to God, plus the intensive perfect of histemi, stand firm in this grace forever, powerfully presents result number 3 of justification, which is eternal security. The intensive perfect of the verb echo, have obtained access to God, plus the intensive perfect of histemi, stand firm in this grace forever, powerfully presents result number 3 of justification, which is eternal security. The active voice, by faith in Jesus Christ, the believer performs the action of standing firm in this grace. Grace forever. The indicative mood is declarative, a dogmatic fact of the Word of God. 3, Paul dogmatically declares that we not only have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God, we not only have a personal relationship with the living and true God, but we also stand in this grace forever. And it's grace, and grace means it all it depends on who and what God is, not who and what we are. Grace. Salvation is by grace. Spirituality is by grace. The salvation plan of God was Operation Grace. Man was spiritually dead, totally depraved. Man was the enemies of God and the sinners. And God, in Operation Grace, designed the cross. Not because we were wonderful. Man wasn't wonderful. He designed Operation Grace to send His eternal Son from heaven to earth, take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. And that was grace. We were at our worst. The world was at its worst. But God, in grace, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God, in grace, designed Operation Grace, the cross. Jesus Christ willingly said, "Yes, sir, I will do that." He left heaven, took on true humanity, was willing to go to the cross, was willing to receive the sins of the whole world, was willing to receive the judgment for those sins, which He did. All grace. And then, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Simple faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ solved the world's problem of sin. God offers the world a gift. To the whole world, He offers a gift. Simple faith in Jesus Christ results in eternal life. Eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. So Paul dogmatically declares that we not only have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God, not only do we have a personal relationship with the living and true God, but we also stand in this grace forever. 4, our possession of God's grace in justification is permanent. It is eternal security. "By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God." We have a personal relationship with the living and true God. How? By means of faith in Jesus Christ. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, the moment of faith in Christ, with the result that we keep on standing in this grace forever. That is eternal security. One of the most important doctrines that the believer in Jesus Christ can learn and appreciate and live his life in: eternal security. None of you can ever, ever lose your salvation. Never. I don't care how you might do something that shocks yourself. You can't lose your salvation. You might do something that shocks your friends or your family, or, and they will tell you, "You can't be a Christian and do those things." Oh, Christians do those things more and more all the time. But you cannot ever, ever lose your salvation. That is the grace of God. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but you have eternal security. How great is that? It's yours. Forever. No matter how you fail, no matter how you sin, no matter how you become involved in evil, you can never, ever, ever lose your salvation. So we need to take a look at the doctrine of eternal security. We're going to look at it inside, outside, upside, downside, all sides. Ready? Good. One, the essence of God rationale. And in the essence of God rationale, we're going to be looking at three parts of the essence of God. God is eternal life. God is eternal life. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God gives us eternal life the very moment we believe in Jesus Christ. God is eternal life. God gives the gift of eternal life to every person who simply believes in Christ. God is absolute righteousness, and the moment any person believes in Christ, God gives him his righteousness. So we're going to look at the essence of God rationale. One, God is eternal life, and he gives the gift of eternal life to anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Now I know almost everybody has heard John 3:16. There used to be a fella at football games. You don't see him anymore. He had rainbow hair and he had John 3:16 and they would always put the camera on him, you know, except for the goofy hair he had on. John 3:16 was out. So a lot of people have heard John 3:16. For God loved the world so much. Now, what's the world? All of mankind in spiritual death, total depravity, as his enemies, as sinners. God loved the world so much. What kind of love is that? Virtue love. Impersonal love for all. Unconditional love. Unconditional love, impersonal love for the whole world. For God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son. He designed Operation Grace, the cross, for the world. That Operation Grace for the world required his eternal son to leave heaven, to leave glory. And he did that on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. The living and true God became true humanity on that first Christmas. Why did he have to take on true humanity? Because deity can't die. And his mission was to go to a cross. And while he was on that cross, the sins of the world were being imputed to him and judged in him once and for all. And that's Operation Grace. The world didn't earn it. The world doesn't deserve it. It's grace, 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 grace. It's putting the spotlight on who and what God is, not who and what we are. We were at our worst, but God in grace designed salvation. For God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have what? Eternal life. Now, if you could lose your salvation because you sinned or then it would have to say here, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have 30-second life. Well, maybe we'll make it 3-hour life. No, it would be a two-day life, one-week life, one-month life, or until you ever shock yourself with some sin life. But it doesn't say that. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Now, eternal means eternal. This is a deep point. Might want to write that one down. Eternal means eternal. You will always, always, always have eternal life. Turn over to John 3:36. John 3:36. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But the one who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. 1 John 5. First John 5, start at verse 11. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the essence of God rationale, and we're starting out with the fact God is eternal life. And to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ, he gives the gift of eternal life. Eternal life forever. Not eternal life if you do a whole bunch of good things. You see, if you don't believe in eternal security, you believe you're always sliding off the roof. And so you're trying to do this and do that and do the other thing so that you don't lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. And that's not the basis of doing things. You don't do things to be saved. That's works. That's salvation by works. You don't do things to attain spiritual maturity. That's works. There is a place in the Word of God for production and divine good, but that's always a result. That's a result of living the spiritual life. It's not the means of salvation. It's not the means of spiritual maturity. It's a result. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, there will be a result. There will be a result. There will be production. Like the evangelism team in Upland Bible Church. It's gone all over the place, all over Las Vegas. Our evangelism team has gone all over this city. They're not trying to do that so that they can become spiritually mature. They're not trying to do that so that they don't lose their salvation. They know they have eternal life. They know that this is simply the result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and they are motivated by the filling of the Spirit and by the Word of God in their soul to go and present as fulfilling their royal ambassadorship. You're all royal ambassadors for Christ. Every one of you are royal ambassadors for Christ. You represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And the believers in this congregation who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, they totally understand the royal ambassadorship. And they are motivated by the filling of the Spirit. They're motivated by the Word of God in their soul. And they want to go and present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And our evangelism team has gone all over this city in the last 45 years. Again and again and again and again and again. And that's fantastic. And they'll be going again this Saturday to Child Haven. That's a very special place for those of you who don't understand about Child Haven. They're children that are there without parents. And we were just there just a few weeks ago, and it was phenomenal. The kids just responded, and many of those kids will be in heaven as a result of that. And now they're going back this Saturday to present the grace gospel to the preschoolers and to the adults that are there as well. So, subpoint two, God cannot cancel eternal life. If he cancels it, then it's not eternal life, is it? God cannot cancel eternal life. If he cancels it, then it's not eternal life. Three, he has given us his life, eternal life. And he has given us his righteousness. Two attributes of the essence of God. And he gives it to every person who simply believes in Christ. He gives you eternal life. He gives you his righteousness and declares you to be righteous, justified by faith. So he has given us his life, eternal life. He has given us his righteousness so that we are qualified to live with him forever and ever and ever. Now, this does not imply that all believers will succeed or be winner believers. This does not imply that all believers will make good decisions and grow up to spiritual maturity. Unfortunately, in the time in which we live, most Christians are not living the spiritual life. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. There are winner believers and there are loser believers, but they're all believers. One of the things the Bible says is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. Now, Deb and I, we have two sons. They're not little guys anymore. They're not little shavers. They're big, ugly guys now. But they're my sons. They might make good decisions. They might make bad decisions. When they make bad decisions, I don't say, is that your son? No, that's not my son. That's my wife's son. That one's not mine. Well, sons can make good decisions, sons can make bad decisions, but they're still sons. We're all sons of God by faith in Christ, and there are Christians and sons of God who make good decisions, and there are sons of God who make bad decisions, but they're all sons of God. Whether we fail or succeed to live the spiritual life, whether we become winner believers or loser believers, depends entirely upon our attitude toward God and toward His Word. While we can fail, it is impossible for us to lose eternal life. It is impossible for us to lose our salvation. Four. the imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ is the only means of justification. The imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ is the only means of justification. Justification is by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 5. Justification is an eternal relationship with God based on His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Not our righteousness. It's based on God's righteousness. Not our righteousness. It's based on our possessing His righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is teaching in Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, because we were justified by faith, imputed with the righteousness from God, declared to be righteous, we have peace with God. Reconciliation, the manward work of Christ on the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God. We have a personal relationship with the living and true God by means of faith, faith in Christ, into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever, and we haven't exegeted the last part of the verse, and so we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God, the glory of God, the essence of God. Our relationship with God does not depend on our righteousness, our morality, our virtue or failure. It depends on God's righteousness and God's justice. 6. The very concept of eternal security is the fact that the righteousness and the justice of God is at stake. The very concept of eternal security is the fact that the righteousness and justice of God is at stake. God gives and He does not withdraw. God gives the church-age believer 40 things of salvation, and He does not take back any of them. In Romans 5:2, we stand in grace. Grace. It is God who provides the grace and our standing. Grace is who and what God is, not who and what we are. We don't stand on our own strength or our own morality or our own self-righteousness. We stand in the grace of God. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but we stand in the grace of God forever and ever and ever. And that's grace. Orientation to the grace of God is a very important part of growing up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we don't stand on our own strength, on our own morality, on our own self-righteousness. We stand in the grace of God. You cannot lose your salvation because it is strictly the work of God. You did nothing to gain it or maintain it. It is the work of God. It is grace all the way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. 7. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, when God imputes His righteousness to you, you're encapsulated by the integrity of God. And therefore, God will never, ever let you go because you are a failure, because of your sins, because of your evil. At the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, you're encapsulated by the integrity of God. You came to the cross, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God impute to each one of you His righteousness. The justice of God is on one end. The imputed righteousness of God is in you on the other end. You're encapsulated by the integrity of God. And this is what grace is all about. Everything that comes to you is by grace down that pipeline from the justice of God to imputed righteousness in you. And every one of you that have believed in Christ, you have imputed righteousness. You have imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. You all have God's righteousness. And that means you have eternal security and you're encapsulated. You're encapsulated by God's essence. You're encapsulated by the justice and righteousness of God. And so by grace, yes. Eternal security is grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't work for it. It's grace. And you know, some people say, oh, well, that makes it real easy. Let's just go out and raise hell then. Well, go ahead. You want to go out and raise hell? Go out and raise hell. See how far that gets you. How's that working for you? No, when you understand this, you realize, you know what? The living and true God is so awesome, so great. He did this for me. He did this for me when I was at my worst. Then I'm going to give Him everything I have. Positive volition, humility. I'm going to give Him my life. I'm going to seek Him, seek His Word, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and glorify Him. I want to glorify that living and true God forever and ever and ever. He did that for me when I was a scumbag. So does eternal security, does that motivate you to go out and raise hell? Well, maybe some it does. But for the winner believer, you say, are you kidding me? The living and true God is so awesome, so amazing. I will give Him my all. I want to seek Him. I want to know Him. I want to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Him. I want to glorify Him in the short time while I'm here. That's what it does. Okay, well, we'll take a break. Give you a chance to go out and cool down outside. And then we'll have part 2.